Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to our study on the issue of paradise, is paradise heaven? Let me remind you that we'd love to have you as our guest, special guest on Sunday, May the 15th. 10 o'clock in the morning, we will have Mark 5 Quartet in concert with us at First Conservative Baptist Church at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. We're exactly 1 mile south of I-295. The Mark 5 Quartet will be singing good gospel songs that's God-honoring and that will be a blessing to you. We invite you to come and listen and join in the concert and the preaching that Sunday morning, May the 15th. Here's just a little sample of the music that you'll hear. Will you join us with the Mark 5 Quartet? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Beulah Land that he's singing there. And there'll be a number of others during the course of the concert on Sunday morning, May the 15th, 10 a.m. Immediately following the concert will be the morning message. You're invited to join us at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 1 mile south of I-295, as we have a wonderful time in the Word of God and the concert with the Mark 5 Quartet in concert singing for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the main issue that we're covering. What is paradise? Is paradise heaven? We've looked at just a moment ago before the top of the hour news break the definition of paradise. We talked about it. It's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Apostle Paul talking about the vision when he was caught up into the third heaven. Third heaven always points to and reminds us of the abode of God, the presence of God. And then he says that is paradise. So there in the script, by the way, it's not a matter of some philosophical rhetoric or what somebody thinks or says. We need to allow the scripture to do the definition and the describing for us what we're talking about. I get a little upset, Pastor, with some of these people that will quote the different theologians and the different church fathers in eras gone by and avoid going back to the scripture for the scripture to do the talking. The scripture defines and describes and gives us the interpretation of scripture. It is the scripture that we need to stick to.
Amen.
And ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, paradise and heaven are the same. Revelation chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Revelation 25, 1 through 5. All of them sewn together, we understand that it's talking about heaven. as being paradise. And the second thing, Pastor, not only the definition of paradise, but the definition of Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. Perhaps you've heard that, ladies and gentlemen, and Luke chapter 16. Pastor, if you would turn to that, we'll read a few verses in just a moment. But in Luke chapter 16, ladies and gentlemen, it is talking about the rich man and Lazarus. Amen. By the way, overwhelming majority of theologians, overwhelming majority of so-called Bible scholars say that Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31, that is a parable. Ladies and gentlemen, a parable, when Jesus would use a parable, he would not call a name. And here he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And when a name is called, it is not a parable. He's talking about a real event in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and following.
Amen.
And Abraham, it talks about the rich man died and the poor man died. I call it the rich man and the ragged man when I'm preaching that text, ladies and gentlemen. The rich man had everything, all the sumptuous living, all of the material things, all the material goods. And Lazarus was cast at this gate every day, and the dogs would lick his sores, the scripture says, in the long portion of that text. But, Pastor, read for us for just a moment, beginning with about verse 22 and following.
Amen. And it says here, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence."
Yes, that Pastor, in that text, and ladies and gentlemen, in your leisure, turn to that, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. Pastor, here's what I believe our listeners need to hear and understand. The rich man died. The poor man died. The rich man died. The ragged man died. The poor man, Lazarus, went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man went to hell. How do we know that? The Bible says it very clearly.
Amen. Amen.
Now, there are a number of people that will try to change the interpretation, say that he wasn't really in hell. He was just in the grave. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what it says. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, and he was tormented from the flames, and he was saying to Abraham that, is it possible to have Lazarus come and bring just a drop of water to put on my tongue before I'm tormented in these flames?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Where was the rich man? He was in hell.
Amen.
He was in burning flames. He was not in purgatory. He was not in limbo. He was not in a holding tank. He was not in a place where bad people on one side of the wall and good people on the other side of the wall. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. So what is the bosom of Abraham? It is a synonym for that place called heaven. It's found, ladies and gentlemen, the bosom of Abraham is found, when you do the studies, in the Jewish Talmud, that is the writings and the sayings of the Jewish people of that day. It's found in the Jewish Talmud, and it's said to be a symbol of that place called heaven. And here, when we find it mentioned that he was in the bosom of Abraham, ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about heaven. It is talking about the place that Lazarus is found. Lazarus is not in heaven, by the way, because he was a poor man. And the rich man is not in hell because of his money. It was because of a difference. One had said yes to Jesus Christ, and one had refused to. One had rejected it. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It's not a matter of being in poverty that says, because I'm a poor person, I'm going to heaven, or because a rich person has money in his pocket, doesn't mean he's going to hell. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil, the scripture says. There are a lot of folks today that have more than two nickels in their pockets, and as a result of that, they feel reliant on self rather than reliant on the Savior, and it will send them to hell. But, ladies and gentlemen, in this text, we see Lazarus resting and leaning on the breast of Abraham, just as you find in the study of the scripture where John the disciple relaxed and rested on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper with his disciples. The whole focus in Luke 16 is that the rich man is in torment, that place called hell.
Amen. Amen.
And Pastor, what I want our listeners to see is there's no intermediary state. There's no in-between heaven and hell. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And we need to understand that the Apostle Paul also said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, 21, 22, and 23, that he's torn. I'm going to just paraphrase. He's torn. He wants to stay and continue to preach and teach and lead the believers at Philippi, but he said he would be better off to be with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So if Paul said that, ladies and gentlemen, we studied this, and for a Christian, listen, we have no other resource that is reliable, that is infallible, that is inerrant than the Word of God, the Scripture.
Amen.
So why should we go outside the Scripture to look at what some diatribe may say, some Johnny-come-lately supposed theologian may say, and believe that rather than simply believing the Word of God?
And then, Dr. Youngblood, you know, that kind of knocks this thought out of the box that people say when you're dead, you're done.
That's right.
You're just laying there. You don't know what's going on. You don't have no feelings. You don't have no thoughts because what you just read from the book of Luke right here, chapter 16, about the rich man and Lazarus, both of them died. But when you look at Lazarus, he was comforted. So that let me know he had feelings.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
But the rich man was tormented, so he must have had feelings.
Had feelings, absolutely.
And he could look up and see Lazarus in that comforted place, so he still had sight.
You touched on something there that is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, that Pastor Davis just touched on that we need to deal with. In hell, there is a recognition of what could have been.
Amen.
In hell,
Amen.
There's a recognition of what has been done wrong. In hell, your entire and individual's entire life goes like a video reel before his eyes in his mind, realizing where he made the mistake, where it was wrong, and he regrets it, but there's nothing he could do. Pastor, in this same text, this rich man says to Father Abraham, and that's, again, a synonym of speaking of that place called heaven in the bosom of Abraham. It is talking about heaven. He says to him, send Lazarus just with a drop of water.
Amen.
And Abraham told him that it's an impossibility. There's a great gulf fixed. He's saying that you can't go from heaven to help someone in hell. You can't leave hell and come out and go to heaven.
Amen.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, that quashes, completely destroys the philosophical, non-theological rhetoric that says there's a holding tank, a holding place, and that paradise is that holding place. It is not so. It is not so. Don't let anybody tell you, I don't care what denomination, I don't care what status, I don't care how many credentials, don't let anybody tell you that paradise is not that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, a saved person goes directly to heaven. That is paradise at death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Apostle Paul said that very thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
He didn't
Amen.
Say to be absent from the body is to be present in limbo, or to be absent from the Lord is to be present in purgatory, or to be absent from the Lord is to be absent from the body, that is, would it be present with the Lord. He says, if I die, Paul is saying, when I die, I go immediately to that place called heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's another thought, Pastor, that we need to touch on in the time that we have. Not only do we see the definition of paradise, and we see the definition of Abraham's bosom, but there needs to be the understanding of the definition of the place called Sheol and Hades.
Amen.
Sheol and Hades. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you have any questions about paradise? Are you satisfied that you've got the answers? Do you have any challenges in relationship to what we're saying that the Bible says about that place called heaven as being paradise? Is paradise the same as heaven? Is paradise a synonym for that place called heaven? There are multitudes of folks, and perhaps you're listening today, and you think that there's something wrong with that statement. Love to hear from you. But ladies and gentlemen, in the Hebrew, Sheol simply describes the place of the dead. It's the grave, if you want to put it that way. When we die, when we die, saved or lost, when we die, the body goes to the grave. That real me, that real you, that spirit man, that spirit woman, that spirit person goes immediately to the eternal destiny.
Amen.
Now, some will say, well, if that's the case, the body's still in the grave. What kind of body do you have when you go to heaven? Good question. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 talks about the saints that are under the throne of God, saying, how long, O Lord, before we are vindicated? How long? And God says, just a little longer, some more will need to be martyred for their faith before you're vindicated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the only description we have in the Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and following, where God is talking with the dead saints that's under the throne,
Amen.
Doesn't mean that they're under a box and God's standing on the box and thus they're under the throne. It means they're in the presence of God, under the protection of God, in the dialogue and discussion with God in relationship to what will be in the future.
Amen.
And the scripture says they're robed in white robes.
Amen. Amen.
So
Amen.
We don't know what kind of body we'll have when we get to heaven. It's a spirit body until the resurrection, and our physical body comes up out of the grave, reunited with the spirit man, and we're given a resurrected, glorified body, just as Jesus had when he was resurrected, came up out of the grave. He had a resurrected body. When he ascended, he had a resurrected, glorified body. And the scripture says that we don't know what we'll be like, but we do know that we'll be like him.
Amen.
And Pastor,
Amen.
That's good enough with me.
Amen. That is a true blessing, Dr.
Yes.
Youngblood, but maybe we better not tell them. That with that resurrected body, they'll be able to eat. I think they're eating
right.
a little bit too much right now.
Right.
Amen. But that goes to show, amen, the correlation between the natural body that we have now and then the glorified body that we will have
yes.
at the resurrection. Scripture proves it over and over again, because if it had not been the truth, then Jesus would not have been called the firstborn from the dead.
That's right.
I am he that was dead,
mm-hmm.
and I'm alive.
Alive.
Amen. So how is he alive? He's alive through the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God, amen, resurrected his
yes.
body on the third day morning. And that's the same thing that's going to happen for us, amen, according to the book of amen, 2 Thessalonians. Amen. We're going to be resurrected the same way. Amen. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. So we need to get prepared for that.
Absolutely. Pastor,
amen.
There's some people that will argue this point, and I find it disingenuous. There's some people that will argue, well, how is it that a person is going to, when he dies, if he's saved, he's going to heaven, but then he's going to be judged, and based on that judgment, a decision made? Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There's the judgment of the lost and a judgment of the saved. Let's get a little chronology in order. When you die, when I die, the body is placed in the grave, and the grave in the Old Testament, New Testament referred to as Sheol, the abode of the dead, the place of the dead. And you can't take that any further than that. And there are those that will say, well, it's the disembodied dead, and therefore their body's there. And some even say that the body and the soul, their soul sleep by the Jehovah's Witness false theology. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When we die as Christians, we go immediately to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
In that place called heaven, where he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also.
Amen.
Pastor, you touched on that earlier.
Amen.
And where he is not in the grave. Where he is not in some holding tank. Where Jesus is in that place called heaven, and we'll go to be with him. But when we go to be with him, ladies and gentlemen, chronologically, immediately after the rapture of the church, immediately after the bodies are resurrected to be stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be judged, every one, whether the works we've done, whether they be good or bad. That is called the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat of God. Jesus, it is the Bema seat, judgment seat, and we will not be as Christians judged to determine if we're going to heaven or hell. That judgment will be based on our rewards. Our rewards will be based on what we've done, and the judgment will ascertain that.
Amen.
But in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, will be the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is the judgment of the lost. And the scripture says, in fact, Pastor, let's read that for our listeners to understand. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it is a fascinating, challenging, wonderful text. And it's talking about the great white throne judgment.
Amen.
Read that for us, and then we'll talk about it for a moment.
And it says here, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
That's a wonderful text, ladies and gentlemen. What Amen. The scripture is saying there, that there's coming a day for the lost person. There'll be the great white throne judgment, and the judge, the Supreme Court justice of the universe, will be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that will be adjudicating the trial, if you will, in that time.
Amen.
And the scripture says the books are open, then another book is open, which is the book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, in the great white throne judgment, there are three books that are open. The book of law, which would be the Bible, the book of living, which is how that person lived, and the book of life, those names written down, and those books are not open for the Lord Jesus Christ to examine them and try to determine, here's A, and your name is Adams, and so I can't find your name. No. Jesus is not going to. He's opening the book so that individual that's his own advocate, the own defense attorney for himself, will be trying to defend himself. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 and following, Lord, haven't we done great works in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done marvelous things in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And it's relating here to this judgment, great white throne judgment. And the scripture says, ladies and gentlemen, it's really saying it doesn't matter where your body is. Your body may have been cremated, and those ashes are going to be brought back together. Your body may have been cast into the ocean and eaten by the great sharks, but your body's going to come back together.
Amen.
And you're going to stand bodily, physically, in that body, resurrected body, before the Lord Jesus Christ to be adjudicated, not based on whether you are lost or saved. You're there because you're lost. And the sea gave up the dead which is in it, and death and hell, that is death and the grave, Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, adjudicated, every man according kata, based upon his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is, death and the grave were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Whosoever was found written, not written, in the book of life, in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire.
Amen. Called,
it is the word Tartarus. And you find, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, right column, right page, the last verse on the Bible page in my Bible, where Satan is ultimately cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
It is that place that is burning with fire and brimstone. And the point is, Pastor, that our listeners need to understand today that Sheol is the grave. Hades is the grave. It's not talking about a term for paradise. I do not know how any theologian in his right mind, how any Bible scholar in his right mind can take Sheol and Hades, which is only a reference to that place that is for the dead, that is the grave, and try to say that that is the same as paradise, and that paradise is the holding tank for the lost dead and for the saved dead, and eventually they're going to be brought out and then judged and adjudicated. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. That indicates soul sleep. That indicates somehow, some way, that to be absent from the body will not be present with the Lord. There's no indication of a place called limbo or purgatory. Hades is the Greek term and the New Testament word for the abode of the dead, the grave. However, in Revelation 20, verse 10, I spoke of it a moment ago, is that place that is called hell, where Satan himself will be cast into fire and brimstone. Jesus says that hell is the place that is created for Satan and his angels.
Amen.
According to the scripture, Matthew 25, verse 41 and following. Ladies and gentlemen, if hell is created for Satan and his angels, angelos, messengers, that is talking about everyone. Satan, hell is created for Satan and everyone that follows him, everyone that believes him, and everyone that's not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and his Lord.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Hell is the abode eternal abode of the lost. There's no indication for an intermediate place, no limbo, no purgatory. It is absolutely a fact, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, you can find in Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 20, the scripture says this. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them which worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, do you believe in that place called heaven? Have you made your arrangements? Have you got your ticket? I was telling my wife just briefly, she said, are you ready for heaven? I said, I already got my ticket. It's already been punched. I'm ready.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a matter, ladies and gentlemen, listen, paradise and heaven are the same. Paradise is a synonym for that place called heaven, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be present with him for eternity. So rather than being in a position of questioning or debating paradise as whether that's heaven or hell, rather than challenging that, rather than believing some demonic lie that it is a holding tank, rather than it being that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, we need to simply place our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ as Savior. The thing that matters most right now, ladies and gentlemen, is not whether you are going to paradise or heaven, both are synonymous, but the question is, are you ready? Are you saved? Pastor, we've got about a minute. Wrap up our broadcast today for our listeners.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, everything was very well said. I can't better anything that you have already said and explained, amen, to the listeners on today. All we want you to do is be encouraged and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because once again, we have New Testament proof from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 56,
yes,
that Jesus is in heaven. Because when they stoned Stephen to death, he said, I see the heavens open.
Yes.
And the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. That is where Jesus is.
That's right.
That is where we can be. But we have to make the right decision on today. When we go to Revelation chapter 22, this is what Jesus said in verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
Mm-hmm.
You just got finished reading about the works, amen, how the works are going to be judged.
Yes.
So we're going to, amen, have the opportunity to be with the Lord forever, but we've got to make sure that we have had ourselves prepared, because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just leave this final footnote with you. Paradise is a synonym for heaven, and heaven is the abode of God. And heaven is that place that is prepared for everyone and anyone, whosoever will, may come. Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as your Lord?
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Looking
Do
forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.